Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Warriors. This is Grant Liftman.
And I'm Drew Schiller.
And we're here to talk to you about the Warriors 5 days a week. Hey Drew.
Yes.
Are we in Vegas right now?
We are in Las Vegas right now. And I actually want to apologize to those of you who are listening to us. We really appreciate you listening. Usually the podcast is available very early in the morning, but we got off to a little bit of a late start here on Monday. Perhaps that was because we are in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and, maybe.
That's just the way it goes.
We're young guys. We're here with everybody out here. You know, we have some fun. We're allowed to have fun, right?
We have had some fun. Moving forward the rest of this week, we will definitely have the podcast available for you, hopefully on your commute to work early on. But, Grant, I think we should probably start with some news that happened on Friday.
Absolutely. So Zaza Pachulia signed a $3.5 million deal for 1 year. To come back to the Warriors. You and I, we had heard rumors for a while from, I think, Monty Poole wrote about it, and our friend Monty Poole, insider at NBC Sports Bay Area.
So I guess when Monty Poole talks, it's a rumor?
Sources tell me. We were kind of expecting it, but I think it's nice to know he's going to be back, because I think a lot of people kind of undervalued him this year. He did a lot of the small things that people kind of took for granted a little bit.
No doubt about it. And you and I thought that Zaza was going to be back because we always felt that the Warriors needed to have a big man like Zaza back, the guy who is just simply out there to set screens, get guys open, is a decent passer. He averaged 2 assists per game. He's obviously not the vertical threat that JaVale McGee is, or that in the future Damian Jones and Jordan Bell can become. But when you talk about people kind of underappreciating Zaza, all season long, you and I on Warriors Outsiders, our show on Facebook and on TV, we were constantly having to tell fans who were begging for JaVale McGee to start over Zaza to just, relax a little bit and give Zaza a chance. He averaged 6 points and 6 rebounds and, as I said, 2 assists per game. And, even though he missed a bunch of layups, he still shot over 53%. From the field, and the biggest thing, the free throw shooting, man, he was 78%, and that was a huge upgrade from the year before when Andrew Bogut and Festus Ezeli were guys that you really could not count on, particularly late in games. So,
and for me, it's just also the locker room presence.
Yep.
That's definitely we all saw the bromance that was forming between him and Clay.
Yes,
that was hilarious. And also, just there is something to be said about the center that's willing to do the small things and, not worry. He doesn't care if he scores or not. He really doesn't care. So it's nice to have a piece like that and to come back at $3.5 million. Zaza can make more other places.
He definitely could have made more last year when he signed the $2.9 million room exception with the Warriors, because he was just trying to get a ring, and I think he probably felt that he could go and showcase himself a little bit more and then possibly get a bigger payday this summer. But, let's be real. Even though you and I think that it's a good move for the Warriors to bring Zaza back, everybody does understand his limitations. And at this point, Zaza is... how old is he? He is 33 years old. He'll turn 34 in February.
I think this is his 15th season coming up or something crazy.
2004 to 2017, that is 14 seasons. This 14 is his season. 15th season coming up.
Yeah, so we're excited to have him back. And it was a necessary move. He's a starting center. That we went this late, and that roster spot is for a starting center. Which actually brings me to my next point that I want to bring up is actually, so we had a chance to talk with Damian Jones yesterday, and or was that yesterday? 2 days ago.
No, that was on Saturday night after the Warriors' first summer league game.
Exactly, following his first game. First of all, Damian Jones, I don't know if many people have gotten a chance to hear him speak, but really one of the nicest guys in the world, right? I just, he's kind of shy. I think you've had a chance to talk to him before in the G League.
Yep.
And he was a little, you say he's coming out of his shell a little bit from your experience?
Yes, he definitely is starting to get more comfortable both on the floor and right. off the floor, just when it comes right. to media availability. And, on Saturday night, his first game in the Summer League, he played pretty well. In 24 minutes, he had 13 points. He was 5 for 8 from the field. He knocked down a couple 18-footers, which was great to see because we always heard about during the draft process that he could step out and knock down the outside shot. He blocked 3 shots as well, so his timing was pretty good around the rim, patrolling the paint. He was 3 for 5 from the free throw line, and that's something that I wanted to bring up because down in Santa Cruz, I broadcast a bunch of his games, and it was weird to see him struggle from the free throw line. He was 50% on the season. He was 55 for 110 during the regular season. And for a guy who has a really nice looking jump shot like he does, it is something that is more, it was perplexing. And we definitely think that he can be a guy that can shoot in the high 60s or into the low 70s from the free throw line. He should be able to do that.
But actually, I put out a tweet the other day about Omri Caspi actually also is a below 70% free throw shooter in his career, which is really surprising. You have some really good shooters that aren't as good from the free throw line. I don't know if it's a concentration thing or what, but maybe these guys are just rhythm guys, you know, more than anything.
Yeah.
With Damian Jones, it might just be reps. But Caspi, you know, is a vet. It's been around for a while. So that was a little bit surprising to see his free throw percentage. But the reason I bring up Damian Jones in this situation is you have to really think about the center position. If JaVale's not back, we still don't know. They could still be talking to JaVale. There's still a spot available. But if you don't bring in another center, there are center minutes to be had for Damian Jones. This summer is very important, and tonight is a big one as well. You have Monday night game. It's all, you know, TV networks are going to be watching. And he's playing the Cavs, which obviously Summer League doesn't matter as much, but there'll be some intrigue. And this is a game he's going to want to show up for.
You're absolutely right. And Alexis Morgan, I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but she covers stuff for the Memphis Grizzlies, and we actually saw her down here in Vegas, and she sent out a tweet the other day saying, Damian Jones is the nicest, most respectable, and most humble NBA player I've ever met. So that goes to you talking about just how nice he is. And on Saturday night after the game, you and I did a Facebook Live session, and Damian Jones was our guest, and we asked him some funny questions. And Damian Jones, to a couple of the answers, so a couple of the questions that you asked him. One, you asked him kind of what he does on his off days or his spare time. Where can Warriors fans find him?
This is my favorite.
And he just kind of had a nice little innocent answer and said, I really like donuts. People can find me just kind of hanging out in a donut shop.
Yeah, he likes blueberry donuts.
Blueberry donuts. And we were just kind of like, okay.
We're like, all right, Damian, all right.
Let's see here. You also asked him which Warrior teammate he would pick to join him on a desert island for survival.
Yeah, so that's a question I've been asking around. We actually spoke with Chris DeMarco, which will be releasing that interview today as well, and current head coach of this summer league team, assistant coach with the Warriors. And which Warriors player, you're trying to survive on an island, you're stranded, which Warriors player do you want to be with?
Yeah, it's pretty much what I just said. But
I'm trying to summarize quicker for you. And he goes, David West. Absolutely David West. He just knows things. I think that was his thing. That was just David West.
He just knows everything.
And then the funny part was we asked Chris DeMarco the same question. He goes, David West. It was pretty impressive. Our follow-up is, if you're going to be stuck in a car for 4 hours with somebody and you need entertainment, who are you going to be picking? And the funny one is Damian Jones said, JaVale, which, you know, we've heard plenty of times JaVale's a big goofball. But
and he said JaVale very quickly.
It was an easy answer for him. And then Chris DeMarco goes, Clay. He goes, Clay Thompson.
For entertainment's sake?
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, we even talked about China Clay for a second, hashtag China Clay with Chris DeMarco. So you definitely, if you get a chance, check out those interviews. You can see it on Facebook Live on the NBC Sports Bay Area page. And then also will be releasing on NBC Sports Bay Area some video today for our interview with Chris DeMarco.
Yeah, so exactly. The Damian Jones, that's the Facebook Live session. And then one other thing that Damian Jones was talking about, and this relates to the fact that he can step out and really knock down some jumpers, is he said that he really wants to kind of be able to somewhat model his game after LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, you may be sitting there saying, huh, that's kind of interesting considering the fact that LaMarcus Aldridge didn't necessarily do a ton against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and he kind of has a rep for being a little bit soft, I think, in NBA circles, and a lot of people perceive that from LaMarcus. However, Damian Jones is kind of a more explosive, high-flying athlete than LaMarcus Aldridge ever was. So Damian really just wants to be able to knock down that 18-footer like Aldridge. However, let's just be real. When Damian Jones is out on the floor and he is surrounded by Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, or whoever, Damian Jones is probably not going to be getting many shots. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but it's about keeping the defense honest, and that's the one thing. If you're going to be able to hit a 17-footer and you can do it somewhat consistently, then all of a sudden the defense has to pay attention to you.
Exactly.
And that's what's key.
Jones, for the most part, especially during the next couple of years, during this core group of Warriors, it's going to be, you know, set some high ball screens, roll to the basket, be a presence, and then defensively be able to step out onto the perimeter and defend in the pick and roll. And he has the athletic ability to do that. A couple stats I want to throw out about Damian Jones for those of you who may not be familiar with his body of work this season when he was down in Santa Cruz. So his first 11 games of the season, he averaged just 5.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. He shot 45% from the field, and he wasn't able to play big minutes because he was getting in foul trouble. And in fact, he fouled out 3 times over those first 11 games. Over his next 20 games down in Santa Cruz, he averaged 14.5 points and 8 rebounds while shooting 62% from the field. And he did not foul out again the rest of the season. And over his final 8 regular season games, he actually had 4 20-plus-point games. And I remember vividly a couple plays where the Warriors would just throw him the ball on the block, and he looked like a guy who could be a unstoppable force. He looked comfortable in the post, and his maturation was very, very impressive.
Well, you know, don't forget how young he is as well. So, you know, people, as over time, post players, the bigs, you know, they sometimes take a while to develop. And I think nowadays everyone kind of hopes for, you know, instant validation on their draft picks. But, you know, you have to give young bigs some time. And Damian Jones has the ability to have a little bit of time because the Warriors are so darn good that he gets a little bit more time for maturation. So I'm excited about him.
It's also important to remember that this is a guy who tore his pectoral muscle a couple weeks before the draft, and that's why he fell in the draft to the Warriors at number 30. And a little funny story about him hurting his pectoral muscle is on our Facebook Live session after the game, I kind of asked him, I said, man, what amount of weight were you lifting that caused that to happen? And he said it was just 185 pounds, which is just kind of the standard metric that people have guys lift to be able to see how many reps they can do. And for a guy of his size, that's not heavy weight. It was just kind of a freak thing that occurred. And then I asked him, I said, all right, Damian, how many reps of 185 do you think that Grant can do? And he kind of looks at Grant, and Grant at the time was wearing you actually were not wearing a tight shirt, which is something that
is that
like to do.
I normally do, right.
And he said, oh, I don't know, maybe about 9. And then I say to him, well, okay, how many do you think I can do? And he says, oh, maybe 7. And it was the low point of my life.
You know, the best part is I hope everyone gets a chance to watch these interviews with David Jones, Chris DeMarco. We're going to have some good ones tonight and going forward through this week. But I feel like every interview, maybe it's my fault because I kind of tee it up, but I feel like everyone just makes fun of you. I'm usually a target that I can...
Gee, I wonder if that has anything to do with you kind of leading the horse to water.
I'm leading the witness. By the way, just so everyone knows listening, this I'm sitting in a hotel and a lot of the NBA personnel are walking by. And so that's why if you hear some noise in the background, I apologize. It's the NBA guys. It's not me.
And I was able to find a big empty ballroom here at the Planet Hollywood where you and I are staying. And so, hey, Grant, real quick. Well, actually, just to finish this little topic. So we started out talking about Zaza Pachulia, right? We are both intrigued by Zaza coming back. We think it's a good thing for the Warriors. They keep the continuity. Zaza Pachulia will probably be the starting center again next year. And if JaVale McGee does not come back, young Damian Jones has a chance to potentially be the guy who checks in for Zaza midway through the first quarter and could be a guy who plays 10 to 12 minutes per game this year.
Absolutely. So just want to thank everyone for listening in with Locked On Warriors here. If you haven't had a chance to do it yet, we hope you can subscribe to us. We're expecting to be with you 5 days a week talking all things Warriors. During the season, we'll definitely get a little more analytics in there. But, for now, we get to talk about how the team's going to fit, how it's going to come together, free agent rumors, all that stuff. And we're really excited to be with you right now.
So another guy, Grant, who played very well in the first game on Saturday night, Pat McCaw. And he was absolutely the best player on the floor for the Warriors. He was extremely aggressive. He took 4 3-pointers in the first couple minutes of the game. He finished with 5 made threes, 4 of which came in the first half. We thought that he was going to potentially break the Warriors' summer league single-game record of 7 threes in a game held by
the single wait, did you say 3-pointers or points?
3-pointers in a single game.
That is held by Anthony Morrow in 2009 and Ian Clark in 2013. Both of them had 7.
Ding, ding, ding. Well done. Yeah. You read the Warriors Summer League media guide.
And that's coming off. That was the same game. Anthony Morrow dropped 47 points, which is the actual single game high for the Warriors so far. So that's a little fun fact for you. Warriors fans, everyone can kind of notice, and, it was pretty obvious. Patrick McCaw was a little tentative sometimes to take the shot with his rookie season, which is pretty understandable when you're a rookie and you're surrounded by that many superstars. But, like, at the end of the day, when you come to Summer League and he gets to be the man out here, not only that, he's, UNLV, this is where he went, right?
Yeah, he played
here. This is his turf. He came out there and he was not gun shy. I don't think he was tentative. I don't think he passed up one shot, which is great. It wasn't a selfish thing. He was getting his open shots. He was very confident. He was easily the best player on the court. That's saying a lot because don't forget, this guy is a free agent after this year, right?
Yep.
So in his mind, he needs to get paid after this too. So this is a big season for him. It'll be interesting to see how they divvy up the minutes, though. That's going to be the interesting part going forward in the season.
Yes, and one guy who may kind of be a hindrance to Pat McCaw getting bigger minutes next season is Nick Young coming in. And Nick Young on Friday addressed the media in Oakland. He was introduced. Before we focus on his comments that he made, we also learned that he is first cousins with Kevon Looney.
Yeah, where did that come from?
That came out of absolutely nowhere.
No one knew that.
The Warriors posted a little video to their Twitter, kind of a behind-the-scenes look of Nick Young arriving in Oakland, and he was saying that Kevon Looney's mom was reaching out to him because they're first cousins. I mean, that's Nick. I believe it's Nick Young's mom and Kevon Looney's mom are sisters.
Yeah,
don't quote me on that. I think that's the connection.
Actually, you can't just throw stuff out there like that. You better know your facts.
All right, my bad.
That was a cool fun fact. But Ian Clark's minutes, those are, right now we obviously haven't seen Ian Clark sign with anyone yet, but it looks like he probably won't be coming back. So the question is, where are those minutes going to go? It's around 14 minutes a game. Nick Young will get a lot of those, but as you and I have said, Patrick McCaw is going to be more of that role that's going to give Iguodala minutes off, Livingston minutes off, Clay minutes off. These guys are going to get a little more rest this year, which is exciting because when you have that much depth, you get to do that. And then come playoff time, you have fresher legs.
Yes, and one other thing from the Nick Young media availability on Friday, Bob Myers also spoke. And at the very end of Bob Myers' session, after he talked about how Nick Young was, in their mind, a very good addition, and that they did a lot of intel work behind the scenes, talking to Luke Walton, you know, seeing exactly what Nick Young is all about. He closed his session by saying, oh, yeah, and by the way, we're not calling him Swaggy P. His name is Nick. And then, of course, a couple minutes later, Nick Young was asked about that. And in a way that only Nick Young can do, he just kind of said, nah, I think I'm going to stick with it. Like, it's my nickname. People know me by it. I'm going by Swaggy P.
Swaggy P. He says the fans love it. They like it. And Swaggy P it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of branded himself. So
yeah. And we, you know, we get a chance to talk to, who, you know, we talked to Damian Jones and Chris DeMarco, and whether it's not an interview or just on the side, we get to throw out the, hey, are you excited about Nick Young? And we actually got a chance to talk to, you know, some of the beat writers around here too. And they're so excited for Nick Young to be there because it's fun. It's exciting. They get to write about someone who has like some very strong personality. And they're pumped about it.
They're all, so. Yeah, they're pumped about it because, it, you know, even though they acknowledge that they are in a great situation because they have a lot of good stuff to write about, the Warriors are so good that during the regular season, things can get a little bit boring at times because they're
just there's only so much you can say. There's no, you know, there's no drama. They all love each other. They all win. So but, it's like sometimes, but you get a personality like that, you get to talk about some fun stuff.
Exactly. Something else from Friday, a little bit of news that came out about Omri Caspi. Is he reportedly, according to ESPN's Zach Lowe, turned down a offer from a team that, according to Lowe, probably would be lottery bound, which means they would miss the playoffs. Anyway, he turned down an offer from somebody of about $4.5 million to agree to a deal for $2.1 million with the Warriors. So that shows you where Caspi is at right now. He wants to win.
And don't forget, also, that team, he probably would have had a lot more minutes. So you would think that, you know, one thought that could go is like, well, Caspi wants to, you know, show off a little bit at the Warriors being a good system, put up some good numbers and earn a better contract. But you know what? There's a good chance he doesn't get a ton of minutes with the team and he's going to be a spot starter. I mean, the spot player every now and then. His minutes will come, you know, maybe a more garbage time. And at the end of the day, I don't, you know, it's not going to be for money. He's trying to win. The guy is trying to win.
He's trying to win. He's trying to go deep into the playoffs. He's trying to have some moments in the playoffs where he comes in, hits a bunch of threes off the bench, and then he can parlay that into a bigger deal next season. Grant, can we bring up one more thing before we got to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
We talked about this, I believe it was on our 4th of July episode from last week. And Bob Myers could not have been more transparent on Friday during his media session. Grant, the only reason that Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston are both back with the Warriors is because of Kevin Durant's truly, in my opinion, shocking decision to not only take below the max. That wasn't necessarily too shocking because it was just a couple million dollars, and I think all along he was going to do that because he didn't want to break this up. But to take $6 million below what would have been his 20% raise and to only be getting, and I put only in quotes, 25 to 26 million next year when he could have had about 31 and a half, that literally allowed the Warriors to be more aggressive with Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, and Kevin Durant is truly now going to be remembered not only for being one of the best players of all time, but the guy that was able to keep this Warriors core together for a potential run of a couple more titles. And we're going to, I think that during next season, we're going to continue to hammer this point home because it truly is a pretty astonishing move.
It really is. It really is. So Bob Myers coming out and saying that is just, he's trying to hammer it home too. We actually, you and I had a chance to chat with Bob Myers yesterday, and I wanted to bring this up before we ended. After the after practice yesterday in the media availability, and we talked with Chris DeMarco, they, you know, the Warriors guys, a lot of the personnel, the staff, like to play a little pickup basketball afterwards, and we were fortunate enough to go over there, and I was just shooting around because I have a bad hamstring right now, Drew. You know that.
I was wondering what you were going to say there.
Yeah, I was. You thought I was going to lie and say I played, but no. My hamstring's a little funky right now, so I was shooting around. But Drew Schiller here, former star point guard for Stanford, went out there, and you haven't played very much recently, and you put on a clinic, you put on a show, and you were playing against Bob Myers, and you beat him a few times. You know, that's I don't know if you should keep on doing that.
I was I was making some shots early on, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. We played it at a high school about half an hour away from the hotels on the Strip. It was Bob Myers, it was Kirk Lacob, it was Willie Green, it was Nick Uren, it was Kevin Gana.
You and Willie Green had some
we had some chemistry.
Yeah, some chemistry out there. You guys went a little run there for a little bit.
And let's just go ahead and get this out there. According to sources, you and me, Bob Myers has a almost unguardable little 8 to 10 foot fadeaway bank shot.
Oh my God! There was a few times during the games that I just had to give out a little curtain call yell, like, wow, that was slippy slappy awesome.
Curtain call. And Bob Myers had another baseball reference from you. Is this the clubhouse? Are we in the clubhouse?
And Bob Myers had a few of those. I was going woo every time Bob Myers did something because it was pretty impressive like that.
Yeah, so hopefully we get a chance to play again because we're going to be here over the next 4 days or so. So as we said at the beginning of the pod, we really apologize that we got off to a little bit of a late start here on Monday. The Warriors play tonight, Monday night, at 5:30, and then Grant and I have a TV show on Monday night after the game, Warriors Outsiders on NBC Sports Bay Area. It's also going to be on Facebook Live. And then
we're hoping to have a few interviews, some big interviews today, maybe a little Patrick McCaw potentially, maybe, you know, some of the coaches. So that would be awesome.
Yes, and then we are going to record another pod later tonight here on Monday night that will be available early on Tuesday morning. And please stick with us. We will have content ready for you in the morning to consume at your pleasure. And as we mentioned before, also, please subscribe if you haven't to us on Locked On Warriors. And we are very excited to continue talking to you from Las Vegas.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.